Saul were just, you know, prophetic and just apostolic. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, it's time for us to get started. We're going to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you for each and every student, Lord God. I thank you for this school. I thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, Lord God, and president of this school, Lord God, Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And I thank you, Lord God, we're equipping the students here and throughout the United States and abroad, Lord God, how to walk in the apostolic, Lord God, how to be good assistants, Lord God, how to be good ministry of helps workers, how to be good pastors under an apostle, Lord God, how to walk and function in apostolic government. And we just thank you for it, Lord God. And Father God, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up, because without him showing up, Father, I would fall flat on my face. My dependency is completely and totally upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to briefly go over a few things that we talked about last week, because I didn't finish on all the different aspects of an assistant. And I want to highlight some key points, and then we're going to try to finish up, so because we need to move on in some areas of the spirit of honor. One of the things we stated, I gave you some synonyms of a loyal assistant. One of them was one, a person who's obedient. They have a consistency about themselves. Consistency means that you're constantly the same. When you make something, or you're making a pie, or you're making something, you want a custard or something to be consistent. You know, the same thickness, the same quality. When in leadership, you know, as an assistant working in the ministry of helps, one of the things I did last week, I had people raise their hand who felt a strong call in the ministry of helps, and I thank everybody to raise their hands. And I know there's pastors out there, and I know there's people called in the other aspects of the fivefold ministry. But wherever we are, whatever our capacity is, there's got to be a consistency, a dependability, a trustworthiness. All of these are attributes of a person who assist and it's loyalty. You know, all of this is, you know, we're talking about loyalty as it pertains to the spirit of honor. Steadfastness. When you're steadfast, you're unmovable. You're steadfast and you're abounding in the work of the Lord. Always being steadfast, doing it, being consistent at it. Truthfulness, all of these are good qualities. And I also stated that the Bible teaches us that the cardinal requirements for leadership is faithfulness and faithfulness alone. It says that it's, you know, that as a steward, we should be found faithful. Stewards should be found faithful. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2. As stewards, we should be found faithful, faithful in the things of God. That's so very important. One of the things the apostle stated today that really struck home with me, he said, you know, he talked about when he started in ministry, how, you know, he didn't look for a pulpit. He just, wherever he was at, you know, when he worked, you know, in the chemical industry, people who he saw, truck drivers, I remember him talking, witnessing, just being faithful, you know. And then when he got called into ministry, nursing homes, prison ministry, street ministry, whatever it takes. You know, a lot of times people look for the glamour, but there's what is known as what I call the backside of the mountain experience. You know, Moses, was his preparedness, nobody saw him. You know, while he was tending to the sheep for Jethro and on the backside of the mountain, God was nurturing him, getting him ready for his assignment. You see, your faithfulness and your loyalty is tested when nobody really see what you're doing. Is, you know, but see, God is omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. So he knows all, he sees all, you know, he hears all. So he will never forget your labor of love towards him, towards the ministry that God's called you to, you know, and that's where that consistency comes in. Amen. Our job as minister of helps us to assist our man of God, our pastor, our apostle, in fulfilling the vision that God's called the church that God's assigned you to, fulfilling that vision. That's so very important that you understand your role and your function. That'll bring you to honor, because it's a I like when he use, it's a global assignment. You know, as leaders, he said, you got to have a global point of view, not just local, not just your church, your corner, your neighborhood. Yeah, the Bible says, you know, we're going to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the world, a global. You got to think bigger than yourself. And that's why God's called us to be loyal assistants so we can help our man of God, our pastor or our apostle, whoever you immediately sit under, fulfill the assignment that God's called them to. I also stated too that as an assistant is one who follows orders, and that's so very important, that comes down from the head or from the pastor. The assistant dedicates himself to serve their pastor, who is called by God to serve in the office of that pastorate. All pastors need to be under and submitted to an apostle. This is God's proper order. And this is really going back to God's original plan. And I talked about, you know, you had Paul, who was an apostle, but yet there was a Timothy, there was a Titus, there was a Silas, all of these people, you know, who Paul nurtured, and a lot of them went and actually set up churches that Paul would go to oversee, but they pastored and they stayed there with them, you know, Titus and Timothy. You know, that's no different than what we see that apostle has set up with LTMA and LTMA churches. And that way the doctrine, you know, stays the same. Everybody flowing in the same direction, in the same vein as one man. You know, because for so many years you saw, and I do believe a lot of ministers had a genuine call of God, but they just went out there and they started to work, you know, and they connected with people with, you know, with like precious faith or similar ideas. And all of a sudden, when two people disagreed, then you had a church split and somebody else started another church. And so you got all these churches on every corner and very little production. You know, and that's what the devil wants. He wants to keep us divided. He wants to keep us not being one man, not having one global focus. And you know, all through the Bible, I stated this last week, God always calls a man. And that he gives that man his vision, his plan. And those who surround themselves around a vision or around a plan, a redemptive plan of God, everybody's moving in the same direction as one man. And you become now partners in destiny. Partners in destiny. Amen. All right, let me finish reading this. The apostle operates under a heaven to earth connection, or at where the portals of heaven are open. And so they're receiving divine instruction from God. And they're taking those instructions now and they're filtering it down to pastors, you know, to prophets, to evangelists, to pastors and teachers who now are equipping the body of Christ, equipping the churches. So now as leaders in the church, people called into the ministry of helps, you can now function more readily, more with the anointing, with the same anointing that your pastor has, with the same anointing that the apostle has. One of the things he was saying, he said, you cannot just hang around this anointing and don't get nothing. You know, through association, just being in the presence of the anointing changes your life. You know, and that's why it's so very important to stay connected to what God's called you to. Amen. All right, let me move on. A good assistant must understand the importance of proper protocol. Protocol is the order of things, the divine order of, you know, of you got Jesus, who's the head of the church. First, you got God the Father. You got Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible says that the government is upon his shoulders. But then now he says that there's apostles and prophets, you know, who they are the chief ones that God uses, especially apostles, to go forth and to establish doctrine, to open up the portals, to get that heaven earth connection down, where now you have pastors, you have teachers, you know, you have evangelists who take the same doctrine and they go out in different aspects of ministry, teaching and preaching what they've been taught. everybody flowing in the same direction. Getting back to the scripture I talked about, you know, where it talks about how the all flowing down Aaron, who was the high priest. You know, the anointing always flows down. And when you position yourself properly, you can't help but get the flow of anointing you need to operate in the particular area that God's called you to. That's why alignment is so very important. Alignment is so very important. Amen. So an assistant must understand protocol in ministry, the ranks in ministry, and the importance of submitting to delegated authority that's over you. You must understand the concept, and I stated it earlier, as one man, as having partners in destiny, or being partners. You know, it's really a blessing when you got people flowing together, but nobody's really caring who gets the credit. And really, nobody, because the Bible says to God be the glory. You know, one thing I've learned is whenever And you thank God for people who come toward you or come, you know, tell you, I thank God for you. You're a blessing, you know, but I'm always quick to say, you know, I'm only doing what I see my man of God do. You know, I'm following his example, you know, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And I talked about it last week. It's very important to stay small in your own eyes. You know, not to let the praises of men cause you to get the for your head to explode. Yes, you know, because God can't use you now. But when you come humbly to God and say, Lord, you know, kind of like who was it, Solomon? I think it was Solomon said, Lord, I don't know how to go in or how to come out. You know, how to judge these people that you put before me, you know, give me an understanding, you know, in other words, in my feebleness, you know, in my weakness, in my insufficiencies, I'm relying. And you see, when you do that, you see that as you empty yourself like that, now you're allowing God to fill you with his goodness and his glory. You know, the more you empty yourself, the more he can fill you, because it's no longer you, but it's Christ living on the inside of you. The very life of God, the anointing of God, the word of God is just flowing out of you, because now he's able to funnel himself through you so that you can be a channel of blessing. Amen. All right. And that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. Amen. As I stated last week, you know, I believe that it is a gift and it's a calling of God to work in the ministry of health as an assistant to your pastor. You have to have a special grace upon your life in order to do it. You know, God graces you, whether it's, blessed with a singing voice, you know, and if you're in the band and you play an instrument, whether it's a saxophone, a drum, a guitar, or whatever, that's a special grace. It's a special grace to work in the nursery. It's a special grace, you know, to work in the ministry, you know, in any capacity, you know, and always rely on that grace, you know, rely on it. The grace is a form of an anointing to do it, to carry out the work of the ministry, you know. And when you recognize it's not about your ability, even though you have the education or you might have been to school for various, whether it's administration or whatever, you know, but you still need to be led by the Spirit of God. You still need to know how to humble yourself before God and how to hear the voice of God. And at the same time, also too, how to follow instruction, yeah. You know, and it's not about your idea, but it's God's idea that God flows down through your man of God and said, this is the direction that we're headed. And that's really not even up for discussion. You know, you just follow orders, and that's where protocol comes in. And like I said, it's a grace that's bestowed upon you to operate in that particular capacity. Another aspect I want to point out very quickly is, I talked about it last week, I believe. You always want to make mention of your pastor always in a favorable light. You know, always, you know, today, matter of fact, at work, a gentleman I kind of got to myself, was praying in the spirit. I work in the chemical industry, and I was around a tank where I knew nobody was going to be there. I just sat out on the steps praying in the Holy Spirit and just stayed there for a little while. And then I got up and I saw a fellow coworker who was also a Christian. He was draining a tank and just sitting down on a bucket. And I remember what the apostle said. He said, God's going to open up avenues. He said, just through your activity in the stores where you have an opportunity to, not only just to share me, but to invite people to church. And so we got to talking and he had come to the church a while back for a funeral. And he was telling me, how he really enjoyed the message. I said, well, if you really enjoyed that, you really need to come back on a regular Sunday where it's not a funeral, but you're hearing the word of God. He said, when I first came, and I know what he was talking about, the money message didn't hit him quite right because his mind was still tripped out, which is understandable. Yeah. He said, but when he ministered at the funeral, so he was really ministering the word. And I'm saying, well, it was never a time to my mind that he never did minister the word, but the word sunk in you. And so I said, well, hey, he's constantly growing. And we all constantly growing. I said, you need to come see. He said, well, I can't make a commitment, but if we can make it, I said, well, sure, I'll save a seat for you. So if you need to, just find me. Hey, we'll make sure you get a good seat. That's the role of an assistant. Following instruction, so you're man of God, doing what he told you to do, and reaping the fruit of it, because that's, the Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. He that go out and evangelize and do the work of the ministry. When Jesus told the disciples, he says, go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That's the Great Commission, and that commission has been given to all of us. We all have a testimony. We all have something we could share in our experiences with God that's going to impact and change other people's lives. Amen. But really what I wanted, I'm kind of getting off where I wanted to go, but what I just said kind of sums it up. Whenever I have a chance to minister individually or at another church or at another ministry, I always, without even the first words that come out of my mouth is, I'm submitted to my pastor, my apostle, Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr. I represent him. I'll never let nobody think that this is Reverend Calhoun and his ministry. No. You'll never hear me. I said it as an example, but you will never hear me say it again. Because I recognize, and the reason why, because you see, now you put the focus on you.
Right.
And it's not about you. God told me that years ago. Say, son, it's not about you, but it's about you doing the will of God for your life. And submitting properly. And that's so very important, but whenever you go out to minister or God gives you that opportunity, you always want to share your man of God, your pastor, whether it's Dr. Phillip, whether it's Dr. Ron Walker, Dr. Cowan, any one of the LTMA church ministers or pastors, you want to present them in a favorable light. And what that does, that helps now align you. You're now aligned properly. And so now the grace that's on their lives and the grace that's on their life through their connection with the grace that's on the apostles' life, going back to the anointing, that's flowing down from the head, flowing down to the pastor, flowing down to you. And now you can flow it down to somebody else, because it's a steady flow. And that's so very important. It blessed me 2 weeks ago. My wife and I, we were on vacation, and one of the first-year students contacted me. He texted me, and he said, I need to talk to you. So I called him, but he was working, and by the time we made it to our destination, that night, he called me back. He says, Brother Calhoun. I said, yes, sir. He said, I need to ask you a question. I said, what you got? He said, I've been invited to go to a church and minister up upstate, and they're going to fly me up there and pay my fees and everything. And he said, I don't want to be out of order. He said, how do I need to go about? I want to get the apostles' blessing. I said, well, you're doing the right thing. I said, after service, pull his coattail if you can get to him. If not, Dr. Leroy Jr., talk to him and let them know. And just ask permission, You may get a yes, you may get a no. You might not even get a response. And normally when you don't get a response, that's a no. That's a passive no. Because I've got no response. So once I didn't hear back in about a week, I called back and said, I can't do it. You know? And it was already even in my spirit, because I had a relative who called and wanted me. She's a minister at a Methodist church in the New Orleans area. That's two churches, I believe. And they were having some type of Founders Day or some day, I can't remember. But she wanted me to speak. And I mean, first cousin, and I said, yeah, that, you know. And it seemed, but I said, I'm going to get the apostles permission and approval before I do it. And I called in. They said, okay, we'll get back with you. And I called in a month before. You know, 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed. And then I got to thinking about it. I said, I think my class was on Monday night. And then prison ministry was Sunday evening. Then Wednesday service and other things I was doing. I said, you know, really and truly, I don't have time. You know, and I said, that's probably why I didn't get an answer. You know, because, you know, you need to figure it out. You know, and so I called her back. And I said, look, and see, a lot of times too, people are not going to, you know, and unless it's in the right circle, in the right light, and it's God's appointed timing, sometimes you're not going to even be received the way it should be received, you know, because of the audience. You know, you're going to have to break up a lot of foul ground, a lot of, you know, you're going to have to, you know, like Sam, you got to plow up, you got to pull down, you're going to have to, you know, you have to get the whole setting got to be right for any word to come forth to, well, the word's going to come forth, but to get into good soil, into the hearts of the people. Amen. Let me move on. People receive best from the person that they admire. There should always be an admiration for your man of God. You admire and you respect and you honor him, because you're going to receive best from those people that you admire. If for some reason you have some issues or some not so good feelings, you need to check yourself. You know, maybe you might not be in the right spot. You might be in the wrong position or the wrong church. You know, but you always, I have here, your level of expectation, when it's high and the respect and the honor is there, it opens the door to receive the anointing that's on his life. You know, when you have a high admiration and respect and honor for your man of God, and the expectation level is high, well, then it opens the door now for the anointing of God to flow down from him into your life. Amen. And that's so very important. Another thing I talked about how it's important not only to honor the man of God, but honor the first lady, you know, because this is what the scripture says. It says, he that receiveth, this is Matthew 10 and 40, he that receiveth, you receiveth me. So in essence, when you receive the first lady, you also receive your pastor. When you receive your pastor, you also, because they're one, you know, and not to be excluded, but just keep it in proper order. Also too, we talked about the first family, you know, that's the priesthood. You know, I got down here, you know, that's the priesthood. You know, you always honor the priesthood. Birthdays, anniversaries, you know, weddings or whatever. Just, you know, always celebrate them, because you want the anointing that's on their life. You know, and when you sow into anointed soil, you can't help but reap an anointed harvest, a harvest of blessing. Amen? All right, let me move on. A good assistant tells and admires an admiring a congregation where they learned their material. In other words, you know, in situations where you might have an opportunity to minister before the congregation or before an auxiliary, it's good to let them know that, you know, the thing that I'm sharing is what I have learned, you know. And it was a scripture that I was using to base it upon. John the Baptist says, notice what John the Baptist did when people were pleased with his ministry. He says, I am not the Christ, but I'm here to bear witness, you know, because he knew that Jesus was coming. He said, I'm not the Christ. You know, in other words, when people come and tap me on the shoulder, I'm not the pastor. You know, I'm just bearing witness of what the apostle has already said. You know, I must decrease and he must increase, you know. And see, that keeps you humble. That just keeps you humble. But at the same time, it keeps the anointing of God flowing in your life. It how can I say this? It's a refresher, because all of a sudden the pressure not even on you, you know, and the pressure is not even on the apostle or the pastor, but it aligns you properly. You know, went on a vacation a while back. One of the first things I did was brought my car in the shop and had my tires aligned, because every time I let go of the steering wheel, my car would venture off to the right. I said, this ain't, I said, I'm going to have to be holding it to keep it straight on the road. But once they aligned those tires and balanced them and got the casters and all the things, the bushings and all this right, you can let go of the steering wheel and you keep straight. In other words, when you align properly, you're going to reach your destination without a fight. Because you're just flowing with it. You're just flowing with it, you know. And when you align properly in the ministry that God's called you to, you can't help but be blessed. All right. A good assistant, like I said, they tell the congregation, you know, where they learned their, you know, and they should know that. But it's no matter where you are, you want to acknowledge, you know, I'm a product of my pastor. I'm a product of the apostle. That's so very important, because you want to know where the source of your anointing lies. You know where the source, in other words, where that source comes from. You know, that's so very important. In most cases, people can identify, if you have children, they can identify your children with you. Because they look at you, I can tell that you're so-and-so's child. You're just like your mother, you're just like your dad. You look like them, you even got mannerisms like them. You know, you talk alike, you know, you walk alike. You know, you have the same kind heart, because kindness has been bestowed upon you, so you can't help but be kind, because that's all you saw. You know, no different spiritually. You know, when you're around an anointing man of God, your pastor, your apostle, you know, you're going to have the mannerisms. You're going to have the anointing. You're going to have the compassion for people, because that compassion every Wednesday and every Sunday is poured out on you. So you can't help but be compassionate, because it you've been saturated in it. And you see, you know, how can I say this? When I'm trying to not so much be politically correct, but when you're full of something, when somebody squeezes you, that's what's going to come out. You know, if you're full of compassion and full of love, when the pressure comes, that's what's going to come out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I hope they all didn't take that wrong, but you don't understand what I'm saying. All right, let's move on. Okay. And why is it that you want to, you know, always know where the source of your anointing comes from? Because as I stated earlier, you want to stay small in your own eyes, not get inflated, but stay small. And it's not that you're belittling yourself, but you're keeping yourself in a state of humility. And the reason being is because Proverbs 18 and 12 says, before destruction, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. When you walk in humility, honor is knocking at your door. When you walk in humility, honor is knocking at your door. Proverbs 18 and 12. Before the downfall, the NIV says downfall, the King James says destruction. But before destruction, the heart is haughty or prideful. But humility comes before honor. But If there's no humility, this is what's going to happen. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. So if you're not walking in humility and you're walking in pride, pride will go before destruction. You know, you're going to get prideful. Pastor said it, apostle said it today. He was talking about Saul and who was it? Saul and David. You know, Saul, the people wanted a king, so the Lord told Samuel to anoint Saul to be king. And Saul could have learned the spiritual aspect, but he stayed from a natural perspective, and he didn't know how to humble himself, you know. And because of that, pride got in. And then when he was given instructions, God told him to go and to utterly destroy the Amalekites. You see, that's why instructions are so important. You know, the reason why I'm standing here is because, you know, apparently I didn't mess up on no instructions. Yeah, I'm just be honest with you. You know, and if I did, I repented and I got it right. You know, but with Saul, God gave him through the prophet Samuel, which was the man of God, the apostolic leader of that day, to utterly kill the Amalekites. Don't spare nobody. Kill the king Agrippa, kill all every women, every child, every beast, spare nothing. Because of the sin that was running rapid in that country, God was trying to wipe out the sin, wipe out the iniquity. You know, because iniquity goes not only to one generation, but the first to the second and to the third generation. Well, he didn't do it. And because he didn't do it, he disobeyed God. He spared the king and the best of everything. And through the prophet Saul, God spoke and said, you know, sacrifices, you know, to obey is better than sacrifice, because he was going to sacrifice the animals unto the Lord. God said, I didn't ask you for a sacrifice. I told you to kill them all. You know, with that said, you want to follow instructions. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. All right, let's move on. And the reason for this is because the kingdom of God and the church of God is not, and I stated this last week, it's not a democracy. You know, it's not up for discussion. It's not up for a committee vote. You know, it's not a democracy. It's a theocracy where God's in charge and God uses his authority and he executes it through delegated men that he's appointed and put in position to lead his people. You know, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not a democracy, but it is a theocracy. Amen. God never called a committee. I stated last week, show me somewhere in the Bible where a committee made a decision. You're not going to find it. And if they did make a decision, their decision ended up in destruction, you know, because it wasn't God's decision. It was man's decision. Amen. And you see, when the apostle talks about government, he's talking about restoring back to order God's original plan so that the church, so that we can reach the promised land like the Israelites did. You know, it took them 40 years to get it right. But they finally ran. But everybody who murmured and complained because they was a part of a committee or had their own opinion or idea, they died in the wilderness. But those people like Joshua and Caleb who said, we're well able to take the city. Why? Because the Lord said that I'm going to give you Jericho. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, because the apostle said, we're going into our wealthy place. You know, I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care what your job says. You know, I don't care what the economy says. God says that we're going into our, and that settles it. You know, that's the word of the Lord. And you see, when you flow in that, you can't help but be blessed, you know, and enter into to God's prosperity, God's peace, and God's provision for your life. Amen. All right, let's move on. Okay, I really talked about that already. All right. Yeah, this is a good one here. A good Laurel system never asks approval or, well, I kind of talked about that too. I'm just trying not to repeat myself because I want to finish. Okay. The most important thing. As a good, loyal assistant walking in honor, one of the key elements you need to know about your man of God or your pastor or your apostle is you must know their heart. You must know their heart. Say, Lord, show me my man of God's heart. What motivates him? What motivates him? What drives him to be so dedicated, to love you in such a capacity, Lord? I want to know my man of God's heart so that his heart can be my heart. The same heart that he has for the people, the same heart that he has for a love of the word of God, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I have that same love, that same compassion, that same desire, because, you know, as he goes, I want to go. You know, I don't want to be left behind. So, Lord, you know, a lot of times you may not understand the decisions that they make, but it's not for us so much to understand, but it's for us to obey. If we want to keep this thing moving in apostolic progression and moving forward in the direction God wanted us to go. You know, it didn't make sense in the natural when the children of Israel was marching around the walls of Jericho. How many times was it? Seven times, 7 days? Or I might be getting it wrong, but you know where I'm coming from. You know, it just, you know, well, but don't say nothing. Just march. You know, one time, you know, then you come back around. And I'm sure some people say, man, my feet hurt. Well, why are we doing it? But all of it, God could have did it in one trip or no trip because he's God. But don't you think they had to have some kind of obedience in there, some type of steadfastness? You had to be steadfast. So I don't know how big the city was, but I'm sure it was a pretty nice sized city. You know, it might have been 2-3 miles around that you had to walk all them times, you know, all them days, you know. And they didn't make Nikes back then, okay? You know, so you go, and the streets weren't paved back then. So you're talking about rocks and holes and you know, whatever. But obedience is all wrapped up into that. Right. Obedience, you know, and so knowing, you know, trusting, first of all, your man of God, knowing their heart and knowing one of, oh, Lord Jesus, I didn't really want to say this, but it's just the truth. And the apostle said it today, and I was glad he said it. You know, one of my biggest challenges in just not questioning his authority and his leadership was with the grace message. That took me and my wife, we couldn't even talk about it. He said, well, that's what I remember one Sunday he said he was ministering and he used the word rededicate. He said, rededicate, what is that? He said, if you're under grace, why you need to rededicate? And in prison ministry, we always give altar calls for salvation, rededication. So I'm telling all my people, from here on out, we're not going to, don't do no. Apostle says, if you're under grace, you ain't no sense in rededicating. And I had to put my mind in the position, don't, you know, follow your man of God. Don't question it, nothing. Even though in the natural, everything I was taught was going against it, but I'm following my man of God. And you know, months later, whatever, the Lord spoke to his heart. The Lord got him into it enough to see the error that's in it. Then all of a sudden he said, no, this ain't right. You know, no, sin has consequences. You know, we're living under grace and grace should keep you out of sin, you know, but you don't sin because you have grace to get you, you know, to supposedly, well, I can just sin and grace will take care of it. No. You know, sin has consequences. If you in adultery or fornication and you get, you know, HIV, that's the consequences of sin. You know, God will forgive you, but you might not live the full length of your days, you know, because of the consequence. You know, I got a minute and something left. But know your man of God's heart. That's, you know, I mean, and even though you think you know it, say, Lord, what I don't know, show me some more. And what I know, expound on that more so that I can follow closer, you know, because you want to. The thing that really blessed me about him was what he wants us to do in following him and following our pastors is the same thing he did when God showed him his man of God through Kenneth E. Hagin. And told him, you know, you have the self same anointing. I want you to be taught by him, you know. And I was privileged in those early years to watch him follow, to be one of those people that was putting Bibles on the seat for him, you know, saving the front rows for him, you know, and to see how the apostle, Kenneth Hagin would come up and minister, apostles right there, and to see with my own eyes, you know, and to see the connection, you know. The first time he ministered Money Coming, or he ministered that on that camp meeting on a Tuesday, and he ministered to be a part of that, you know, but to see his dedication. You know, I remember when all the other churches was 2,000, 3,000. Word of Life, we might have been 400-500 members. Word of Life Christian, 5,000 pledged for Rhema Day. You know, I said, Lord, one day I want to be able to pledge and so far 20,000. And a day has come. Why? Because you're following. Amen. That's it. My time's up. You guys be blessed.